He's from Forbes.com. He's written for MLB. He's one of the fine sports writers of the Midwest, and that is Phil Rogers joining us on this Sunday. Phil, nice to have you with us today. How are you?
Marty, I'm doing great, although I got a confession. I signed up for the NFL Red Zone package for the first time in my life. I've joined my first fantasy league. It's a very frightening period for me.
Yeah, you'll be addicted. But I will tell you this. Baseball could use something like that. I guess they have it kind of with MLB Tonight. But the Red Zone, they just take you from game to game to game every time you're in the Red Zone. So I guess they could do it for baseball. Not bad for the marketing, I would imagine.
They kind of do it, and I think there is a separate channel in addition to the MLB Network that sort of does what the Red Zone does. But, you know, I think what baseball needs is more action to show, not more ways to show the action.
Well, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Phil Rogers with us. He writes for Forbes.com. Phil, I love having you on, and, you know, I'm fascinated by Chicago baseball. And once again, the Cubs are part of the story of will they hang on? Baez has got the fractured finger. Will Joe Maddon be back? Lester's going today. The Brewers would love to knock him out. You've got a Chicago Cubs story going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we've known that would be the case all year. You know, I think most fans are really let down, you know, not just by the fact that they're behind the Cardinals, but by the win total. I mean, they're based on the way they're playing, without barring a torrid finish, they're going to win under 90 games. And, you know, this was a team that was put together, if you go back to 2015, 2016, 2017, you know, this was a team that was supposed to be doing what the Houston Astros are doing and what the Dodgers are doing. And it's been kind of puzzling as to why they have not separated themselves from the pack, because, you know, they certainly have a payroll to do it, the resources to do it, the front office brain power to do it, the managerial experience and guile and in the dugout to do it, but it just hadn't happened.
Why hasn't it happened when you think about it? Is it the starting pitching? I mean, Darvish has made a complete turnaround. Lester is still there. Hendricks is there as well. Quintana. The bullpen may be a little bit more of a mystery. Kimbrel's on the DL now. The big boys seem to be hitting. Baez is hurt now. If you had to put your finger on it, what's happened with the Cubs?
Yeah, I'll give you two things. I mean, the bullpen has been a consistent weakness. But, you know, when you look around baseball, there are a lot of teams that go year to year building a bullpen. So, you know, I don't know that it's fair to be too hard to jump on that. But then you look at their young hitters, and I would include Chris Bryan in this group. You know, with the exception of Javier Baez, their young hitters haven't developed. And, you know, to the contrary, you know, Addison Russell, who looked like he was going to be certainly a fixture in the lineup for a long time, has kind of, not just with the off-the-field stuff, but with regression in his play, sort of played his way back. And Albert Almora, who was a high draft pick, hasn't really developed. Kyle Schwarber is sort of a one-dimensional home run or bust player, although that's not fair. Schwarber's a better hitter than that. He walks, but they don't seem to put him in the lineup where, you know, I think that's sort of bedeviled on Maddon's lineups to get the most out of a guy like Schwarber, because he'll walk and get on base, but he just doesn't seem to come up in enough RBI situations, so he hits a lot of solo homers. But, you know, I think just across the board, and they also, it's fair to point out, although I don't think it's really fair to criticize them for the trades, but you look around baseball, there are a lot of guys they've traded away that are hitting monstrous, having monstrous home run seasons. Gleyber Torres is the best of that bunch now, but Jorge Soler just hit his 40th, Daniel Vogelbach in Seattle, who was blocked by Rizzo. He wasn't really going to play for the Cubs, but he's now looks like a 30 homer guy. And Aloy Jimenez, you know, is a guy that, you know, they kind of picked Schwarber over him. And, you know, I think the jury's out. I think most people now would rather have Aloy Jimenez's long range future. But you know, the sub story is they haven't developed their own pitching. You know, starting and bullpen. Kyle Hendricks is really the last young pitcher. He's not even homegrown. They got him from Texas in a trade, but he's really the last young pitcher they've given a really good shot to, and that was back in 2014. They just haven't had, they've tried very hard through the draft and international signings to get pitchers that they could put into their mix, and they just haven't been able to solve that riddle, and I don't know why, but I think that's probably the biggest failure of the Theo regime.
All right. Well, here it is today. Brewers leading the Cubs. That is 1-0 in the top of the third. The Diamondbacks are breathing down their necks, and, of course, you got the Mets and the Phillies and teams like that still, you know, sort of knocking each other off, so you don't know what's going to happen there. But do you see the Cubs hanging on to this thing? Of course, this is the best part of the baseball season with 20 games to go and a lead of 3 or 4 in the loss column or 2 in the loss column. Every day it becomes sort of a playoff day. How do you think this thing's going to end up with the Cubs?
Yeah, I think they're going to have enough to hold off. You know, Arizona's been red hot. Washington, you know, also red hot. But, you know, I think the Cubs, their experience, they're getting there. It helps. They were without Ben Zobras for much of this season, and he's sort of been a little bit of a spark plug since he's come back. So I think that will help them. And they haven't given up on catching the Cardinals. They're now 3.5 back, but they have them 7 times the last 10 games of the season. So I think if they could cut into that lead and, you know, make it 1 or 2 games, they could still wind up, you know, winning the division they were expected by most people to win. It's probably them or Milwaukee. The Cardinals have really sort of had a really nice stealth season. But I don't write the Cubs out for the division. And by the way, you know, you really, really want to win the division if you can, because, you know, if the Nationals are the number one wild card, you're going to Washington, you know, and facing Max Scherzer in the wild card game. So, you know, that's not exactly what fans have been looking forward to over 162 games in Chicago either.
Now, Clint Hurdle learned that lesson with Bumgarner a couple of times, and he's been in that position to get knocked out by the horse, as he likes to say. Phil Rogers with us at Forbes.com. Phil, I was thinking about it. We know that Bill King would always tell me, the late Bill King, of the great rivalry between the Cubs and the Cardinals, and you just said it, 7 games in the last 10 days, and that's going to be huge, huge, to determine this division if it's still within striking range, which it should be. But what about the Cubs and Milwaukee? Is that turning into anything? Because they're close by. We know that. It's always been the Milwaukee Braves going back to years ago. And, of course, with the Brewers and the Cubs. What's that rivalry like?
Well, I think it's not unlike the White Sox and the Cubs, that it's bigger to the other team than it is to the Cubs. I mean, the Cardinals are always the traditional, the ancient rival. You know, Cub fans love going to Milwaukee to watch the Cubs, which Milwaukee fans hate. And tip of the cap to the Brewers, their fans have started coming to Wrigley Field. So it does sort of start to build a rivalry. And, you know, I think we thought, you know, those two teams were going to go down the stretch in September, battling each other for the spot, and you know that would have certainly played into the rivalry. But the Cardinals have stolen the stage from both of them, so they're fun games, but you know it's for the actually even next to the Cardinals, you know, the Mets. I mean that 69 thing. This is a 50-year anniversary. And the Mets are probably the number two rival, I would say, of the Cubs. And a lot of that does go back to 69 and you know, a long time ago.
Well, great having you on. This is going to be fun. We'll do this again, I'm sure, in a couple of weeks. But the one thing I did learn, I forgot, 7 of 10 days 10 games with the Cardinals Cubs at the end of the season. That's going to be pretty good. Very good. Phil, I enjoy it always. And the book, doing okay, I hope, the Bud Selig book?
Yeah, it's actually, we've been on the New York Times bestseller list. So we are very happy with the response to the book. And the reviews are really, really good. I talked to a longtime baseball person yesterday who told me how much she enjoyed the book. And, you know, I think it's worth a look. I don't think it's exactly what, you know, I think people have their own opinions about Bud and they're sort of set in their ways. But I think he does a good job with this book in telling his own story for the first time, really.
Oh, great. Phil, great to have you on. I appreciate it. Thanks always.
All right. Thank you, Marty.
All right. That is Phil Rogers, Forbes.com.